This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, sitting in for Terry Gross. The movie American Splendor, based on the defiantly personal comic book series written by Harvey Pekar, has just come out on DVD. When it was released last year, it received rave reviews from critics for its original subject matter and structure, and was honored at the Sundance and Cannes film festivals. At Cannes, it received the coveted Grand Jury Prize. The movie just picked up an Oscar nomination for Best Adapted Screenplay. It's adapted from the American Splendor comics, a series of autobiographical stories Pekar has published since 1976. They're about his daily life, working as a file clerk in Cleveland's VA hospital, collecting jazz records, running into annoying friends and strangers on the street, dealing with the ups and downs of married life, and being constantly disgruntled about how little money he makes. His book-length comic Our Cancer Year, co-written with his wife Joyce Brabner, was about having lymphoma. Pekar doesn't draw, so he relies on artists to illustrate American Splendor, including his old friend R. Crumb. The movie stars Paul Giamatti as Pekar and Hope Davis as Joyce Brabner. They first connected through letters and phone calls when Brabner was a partner at a comic book store in Delaware. Here's a scene of one of those early phone calls.
So you married or what?
I'm divorced, thank God.
Look, I think you and I got a lot in common. You know, how am I going to get you to come visit me in Cleveland?
Cleveland?
Yeah.
You think that's a good idea?
Yeah, it's a great idea. You know, you should meet me because I'm a great guy. You know, despite the way my comics read, I got a lot of redeeming characteristics.
I don't know. Where would I stay?
I don't know. With me. You know, don't worry. I'm not going to put no moves on you.
I'm not worried about that. Hold on. I just spilled my chamomile tea all over my...
Yeah.
Although American Splendor stars Hope Davis and Paul Giamatti, the real Harvey Pekar and Joyce Brabner are interviewed within the film, commenting about their lives. We invited Pekar and Brabner to talk with us.
Harvey Pekar, Joyce Brabner, welcome to Fresh Air.
How
do you think the movie American Splendor compares with your real lives? Harvey, let's start with you on that.
My real life? I'm even more harried and frantic than you see there.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Joyce, what do you think?
Well, it's, you know, we're watching people who look better than we do and, you know, sitting on furniture that's better than the stuff that we have. And for some reason, everything that's happening to them has an arc and it seems to all be taken care of in, 80, 90 minutes, you know. So things go awfully fast.
Whereas real life leads in many directions
yeah.
and in slow motion.
Yeah.
Could we listen to a scene together from early in the film American Splendor? And in this scene, let me back up and say, Joyce, you were a partner in a comic book store in Delaware and a fan of
right.
American Splendor. And then you and Harvey started communicating by mail and then phone. Then you decided to meet in Cleveland, where Harvey lived and still lives. And then in the movie, Harvey takes you, Joyce, to a restaurant. And here's the scene as you're looking over the menus. And this is right after you first met. And Hope Davis is playing Joyce Brabner. Paul Giamatti is playing Harvey Pekar.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Something's wrong. You keep looking around everywhere.
I guess I never imagined you'd eat in a place like this.
What, me? No, I've never been here. I thought you'd like it. But obviously you don't, do you?
It's fine. What difference does it make?
I don't know. None, I guess. You got a lot of meat on this menu.
You're a vegetarian?
Kinda, you know. I mean, ever since I got a pet cat, you know, I've had a lot of trouble eating animals.
Huh. I support and identify with groups like PETA, but unfortunately, I'm a self-diagnosed anemic.
Uh-huh.
Also, I have all these food allergies to vegetables, which give me serious intestinal distress. I guess I have a lot of borderline health disorders that limit me politically when it comes to eating.
Wow, you're a sick woman.
Not yet, but I expect to be. Everyone in my family has some sort of degenerative illness.
Would you compare that scene from the film
with what really happened
in the restaurant when you went out to dinner?
Okay. Well, Harvey didn't take me to a really fashionable, you know, yuppie chain. He took me to McDonald's. And I just was a real good sport and sat there and ate the French fries. he was, but I guess Bob and Sherry decided that I deserved better. And
they're the directors and writers.
The directors, right. And then they based some of what they saw on observations of us as we are now. And actually at the time, I was the vegetarian and Harvey would eat different kinds of meat. And that was my cat that turned Harvey into an ardent vegetarian after we moved in. So, but it's, you know, who cares? I mean, these are things that I don't even think my mother knows.
So Joyce, Hope Davis said that when she was acting early on in American Splendor, that she that you were giving her suggestions, and it was making her very self-conscious to have you on the set, so that she asked you if you could leave. And I think it made her very uncomfortable asking you to do that, but she was just getting so self-conscious. What's your memory of that?
It's pretty different because the only contact I had with Hope was, you know, the time that we spent together before she went to work acting. We spent some time and, you know, she had questions and I tried to give her some answers and some explanations, you know, backstory, things like that, what was, you know, behind some of the stuff that was in the script. But I went down and I watched it, and I watched it from a distance, and I got a message from Ted Hope, the producer, who sort of took me aside and said, Hope is freaking out. She feels like, you know, your eyes are burning into the back of her neck, and she just feels very, very uncomfortable doing this with you. And so I was asked not to come down and watch, although they did arrange for me to, from time to time, look at it through the remote or, I don't know, hide me out in the bushes or something like that. So it made me a little uncomfortable during lunch breaks because I would never know, you know, I tried to sit as far away from her as possible. And, you know, she'd say, come on over here, come on over here. And I think, I don't want to contaminate her with my Joyce-ness or whatever it is. But I never gave her any suggestions on the set. I never said anything. You can't do that because you have to be quiet and let them film.
When you both decided to meet in Cleveland, what were you expecting from each other? Harvey, what did you expect Joyce was going to be like? And did you think that this was going to be your wife?
Oh, I was sort of hoping it. Yeah. I expected she'd be like she'd been on the phone, you know, like pretty straightforward, maybe a little acerbic, and with a good sense of humor and, you know, basically a pretty honest person, and, you know, a person who's pretty loyal, and I guess that's what I got.
And Joyce, what you were expecting based on not only your phone calls with Harvey, but, you know, reading his autobiographical comics?
It wasn't the reading. It was strictly the visuals. I thought much about this guy, but I really had to check him out in person to see whether or not he smelled bad. He had any twitches, Tourette-like syndrome, you know, symptoms, things like that. Because I had no real clue as to what he looked like. And, you know, like I said in, I said in real life before I said it in the movie, that with the range of artists from Jerry Shamray to R. Crumb, you know, Harvey was presented to me as anything from, you know, the missing link to just this sort of, you know, this sort of noble, you know, with a high forehead, you know, young Brando type.
So where do you think he falls in that range? What did you think of him when you met him?
Well, He was more muscular than I thought he would be.
Harvey, in the movie, the first thing you say to Joyce when she gets off the bus in Cleveland is, you know, right off the bat, I want you to know I've had a vasectomy. Right. Is that the first thing you really said to her?
He said that to me when we were talking over the phone. When I said I was coming out, he just blurted it out. But they don't show too much of the telephone conversation, right. So they just moved that up a bit. But it really had that kind of impact, you know, and just came out apropos of nothing.
Did that seem presumptuous to you?
To me?
Yeah.
It seemed Harvey.
Joyce, when you got married to Harvey, you knew that you would be a character in his stories because the stories are autobiographical. And mm-hmm. So it changed your life not only because you now had, you know, a partner in life. You were also in a position where parts of your life together were going to be described in this comic book. What was it like for you to suddenly be a part of the comic book that you had read and to know that things that you said, things that you did might end up in the story?
Well, it was a little annoying because I could no longer enjoy the comics once a year. I always knew what was going in, and so I was deprived of that, you know, the experience of just opening a fresh new copy and finding out what had happened to this character this year. But it was sort of incumbent upon me to make sure that our marriage had a happy ending. I first became really aware of what was going on when, after about a year or so, people, you know, send fan mail to Harvey all the time, and we got letters that said things like, well, we weren't real sure about you, you know, in issue 9, but now that we've seen what's going on in issue 10, you know, it seems like you're here to stay and you're good for our man. And so, you know, the marriage was approved of by all these people who don't know who we are but just read about us in comics.
That's kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, to have readers weighing in on whether you're the right choice.
it's either people like that or relatives, and Harvey didn't come with a whole lot of in-laws and relatives.
That's funny. So you have to please the readers.
Yeah. And it matters just about as much. You know, we see them and hear from them about as often as you'd hear from, you know, long-distant aunts and cousins. And
we know there's parts in American Splendor, the comic, and American Splendor, the new movie, where you seem to drive each other a little crazy. What's it like to expose that part of the relationship to the public? That's the kind of stuff people like to not have people see.
Well, actually, in my case, it's very liberating because now that everybody sees what I have to put up with, I mean, people are almost offended if Harvey doesn't have a meltdown or something or do something gauche or...
It's like part of the show.
Whatever. I think it's... When you try and hide these things, you get into trouble. But now, it's like he gets paid to be this way. He gets paid to be squirrely.
Harvey, what's your take on this?
Well, I don't deliberately act, you know, neurotic, although I guess I am. But I don't try, you know, I don't do it because anybody's paying me to do it. And I'm glad that Joyce allows me, you know, so easily to write about our disagreements and stuff like that, because I don't want to idealize our marriage. At the same time, we've been together for 20 years now, and we're still working things out, and we're still, you know, grown. And I think it's a good marriage.
One of the best known works that you did was a collaboration between you and Joyce called Our Cancer Year, about the year that you were diagnosed with lymphoma and you had chemo, and you were very, very sick. But then you went into remission and seemed to be clear. And was it after retirement that it came back?
Yeah, that's where...
It came back right after the movie wrapped.
So did you have to do chemo all over again?
Yeah.
It wasn't as bad physically as last time. Actually, Harvey had been pronounced cured, and so this might actually be coincidental rather than related. But it was still really, really rough because he was still, kind of depressed and out of sorts, trying to find his way after retiring. I mean, he'd retired, begun working on this movie, and then, boom, he's got a tumor again.
In what way was it not as bad as the first time around?
Medically, because when Harvey had his treatment 10 years ago, it was horrific. They were telling him he was taking the second harshest form of chemotherapy, the second harshest protocol, and it was very rough on him, but this time physically it was better. There was a lot of deja vu, though. I mean, George Bush was president then. George Bush was president when he had lymphoma this last time. We were in a Persian Gulf War. The first time he had cancer, another Persian Gulf War. I was involved with 15-year-olds from different countries who were war survivors, and now I'm guardian to a 15-year-old girl. So it kind of felt like we were stuck in the same tape loop.
Harvey, I'd like to ask you a few things about your background, starting with your parents. This comes from one of your comics you wrote about your family's attitude toward getting into fights when you were a kid. You wrote, "My family considered physical violence and even sports as unthinkably barbaric activities fit only for Gentiles." Tell me a little bit about your parents.
Well, my parents were both from northeastern Poland, from shtetls. My mother's from a place called Brestovice, and my father's from a place called Nowy Dwór. And my mother came over to the United States first in the 1920s. And I don't know, I think maybe partly because she was, like, really short, you know. She couldn't find a husband, and she got sent back to Europe again in 1935, and I guess at that time, she was supposed to be, or maybe my relatives who were still there were supposed to be, you know, looking out for her and trying to find her somebody, and she did come up with my father. My father's as long as I've known him, my father's been real religious, and my mother was a communist. We were for Henry Wallace in 1948, but they seem to have resolved their differences that way. I know that
they were both short.
Yeah, well, my mother wouldn't go to shul on the high holidays and stuff like that. But they got along. They respected their differences. I don't know of too many cases that are like that, because they both believe pretty strongly in what they in my mother's case in her politics, and my father's case in his religion.
I could see how both a communist parent and a religious parent would think that reading comic books was frivolous and something to be discouraged. What did your parents think of your interest in comic books and music or any other parts of pop culture?
Well, they thought it was just a waste of time. I didn't read comic books from the age of 11 until, like, I moved out of the house, so that was one thing they didn't have to worry about. But, I mean, and my father tried to be tolerant of jazz, although I don't think he liked it very much. He collected Chazanishe records, you know.
What kind of records?
Chazanishe, cantors.
Oh.
The records of cantors, like Yusula Rosenblatt or Moishe Kusevitsky or Well, you know, there used to be a guy that used to sing for the Met that was also a cantor by the name of Richard Tucker. I don't know if you know about
him. Right, yeah.
Yeah, he used to. So my father was in the collecting these records, too. I wasn't the first record collector in the family.
Well, I regret we're out of time. I've really enjoyed talking to you both.
Thanks.
Love the movie, love the comic, and thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Terry.
Harvey Pekar and Joyce Brabner, whose lives were dramatized in the movie American Splendor. The film has just come out on DVD and is up for an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay. I'm David Bianculli, and this is Fresh Air.